Good morning, everyone. I welcome you on this day of worship as we gather here in the presence of our Lord to again hear of the greatness of our God and the forgiveness and salvation He gives us as a free gift through His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a special day every Sunday as we celebrate that. And as we gather today, I'm so thankful to be able to have so many of our open families, open arms families here with us today, celebrating along with us. I enjoy the opportunity to share with your children that good news about Jesus. It's amazing how quickly they learn and how smart they are. So you can be proud of them, and together we sing the praises of our Lord. So with that, let's stand as we join in our first hymn of praise, "The Lord My God Be Praised." Our service starts by calling on the name of the one and only true God. And so in the name of the one true God, the Father Almighty, maker of the heavens and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, God of God and light of light, begotten, not made, or God of God, light of light, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. In the name of the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified. Amen. Well, we come before this great God believing that He is a God that threatens judgment and punishment for our sin, but is also a God who would much rather forgive. That's why He sends His Son Jesus to save us and forgive us. So let's join our hearts as we confess our sins this morning before the Lord. Shall we pray? Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Amen. Well, we confess our sins before the Lord, but more importantly, we remember that God, in his grace and mercy, sent his one and only Son, Jesus, who laid down his life on the cross to buy for us something we could not get for ourselves, and that's forgiveness of our sins. And as we hear that promise and put our faith in Jesus, that gift of forgiveness is given us as a free gift for all of our sins. That's what renews our life, reconnects us with God, and lifts us up. And it's in that spirit that we're worshiping and celebrating today. So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and forgiveness of God the Father be yours through faith in Jesus as your Savior. Amen. And you may be seated. Let's continue our praise as we appreciate that amazing love that God gives to us, though we've done nothing to deserve it, in his Son, Jesus Christ. And we join in singing Amazing Love.
And my death he dies. Let us
Well, we come now to hear those words of life that the Lord gives us. And as we get ready to do that, let's join together in prayer, shall we? We pray. Heavenly Father, without your blessing, we are not able to please you. So mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and govern our hearts through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Last week here at Holy Emmanuel, we started thinking about the stewardship that we have, the responsibility to manage the good gifts that God has given us. And we're going to be talking about that some more. But as we turn to the Old Testament reading today in Amos chapter 8, we see how God's got a complaint against his people because instead of managing the gifts he's given them wisely, they become focused on the gifts and forget the giver. And here in particular, they were going to worship, but their mind was like, how soon can we get done this so we can get back onto business? And that, of course, is not what the Lord deserves for the mercy and grace he gives us. And so he sends his prophet Amos to them and he says, hear this, you who trample the needy and do away with the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over that we may sell grain and the Sabbath be ended that we may market wheat, skimping the measure, boosting the price, and cheating with dishonest scales, buying the poor with silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, selling even the sweepings with the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, I will never forget anything they have done. This is the word of our Lord. Obviously, that's not the right attitude of heart for us to have, taking advantage of others just for our own wealthy gain. And as we turn to the epistle reading today, recorded for us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, we hear what God's mind is set on, and that's saving people. And that as we recognize Jesus comes to save us, that starts to change us from the inside out in terms of how we deal with one another. And so Paul writes to his helper Timothy, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved. Mankind is what he's talking about there. And to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. And for this person, or for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, and a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. This is the word of our Lord. Of course, at Open Arms, we seek to share that wonderful message about Jesus as the Savior to your children, that they realize Jesus cares about them and gave his life to deliver them. So we have the Open Arms children going to sing about their Savior.
the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got my brother and my sister in his hands. He's got my brother and my sister in his hands. He's got my brother and my sister in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the tiny little baby in his hands. He's got the tiny little baby in his hands. He's got the tiny little baby in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got my mommy and my daddy in his hands. He's got my mommy and my daddy in his hands. He's got my mommy and my daddy in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands.
I stomp your feet like that. And let's clap together. That's it. This little light of mine,
I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
All right, keep clapping now. Sounds good. Huh. Everywhere I go.
Everywhere I go.
Called clapping on the backbeat. All right, sing this real quiet with me now.
Even when I'm afraid, I'm gonna let it shine. Even when I'm afraid, I'm gonna let it shine.
Yes,
even when I'm afraid, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
And we'd like to have a children's lesson for the children, as long as they're up here. Natalie?
If any other kids come join me, I think they deserve another round of applause.
That is certainly spreading God's word, isn't it?
Oh.
Yeah. How's school going this year?
Good.
Is it good? What's your favorite thing? You love to go to sing? Good for you. And who are we singing to?
Jesus.
Oh, he sure knows you, doesn't he? Every single day, yes. Well, are we in the season of winter?
No.
Oh, let's get our swimsuits on. Are we in the season of summer?
No.
Aww.
We are in the season of October and Halloween.
Yes, October, Halloween,
And what season is that?
Fall,
right? The month is October. Very good. It is fall. Let's see if we can think of some things that remind us of fall. I have one thing.
Apples,
okay. You said Halloween, where we can wear costumes and have fun. What else makes you think of fall? What's on the trees? Leaves. And what happens in the fall with the leaves? They turn orange, they turn red, they turn yellow.
And trees fall down.
Yeah, that's right, and the leaves fall down. How about pumpkins?
Yeah.
That reminds you of fall?
I have a pumpkin in my backyard house.
Good. Okay, well, I'm going to go back to apples. Who likes to eat apples?
Me.
All right. Do you ever put caramel on them? Mmm, it's my favorite way. But you know what? Sometimes when you cut into this apple, you might not see white, nice-looking apple. What could be there? Okay, seeds are there, so we can grow more apples. What else would be there if we cut it open? Could be there. That's maybe not good. What might you see? Worms, you're right. What else could it be? White or would it be yucky color? Yucky. It could have changed colors. That's right. Well, you know, in the Bible, Jesus told his disciples, we sometimes too can have really yucky days and yucky promises, can't we? What makes you sort of have a bad day? Does mommy yell at you? Sometimes, right? Does your friend grab your toy?
No.
No, well, that's very good. That's nice. But we can have bad days. If you're sick, is that a good day or a bad day? That's a bad day, isn't it? That just doesn't make you feel good. But Jesus told the disciples, even though we have things that aren't great, that might be not so good, that's part of the world. But in John 16:33, can you say that? John 16:33, he said, you may have problems, you may have things that are not so good, but I have overcome the world. That means he can make it all better if we just trust him. Right? Let's fold our hands to pray. And you can repeat after me. Let's do an echo prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you for all my blessings, especially in the fall time. But when I have a day that just isn't going well, I know you will take care of me and provide everything I need. And all God's kids said,
Amen.
Amen.
Did I hear one of the kids plead the Fifth Amendment when Natalie asked if their mom yells at them? Well, thank you, Natalie, and thank you, children, for sharing that love of Jesus that you have. We turn to our last reading today. It's the gospel reading in Luke. And Jesus tells a story here, and I got to be honest that this is one of the more difficult ones to grasp because he talks about this kind of shifty manager who's doing wrong and holding him up, well, not as a good example, but as a bad example of how he's using his master's money for his own personal gain. The point of Jesus telling us this is that's not how we're supposed to act, but whatever blessings God has given us, yes, we use for ourselves, but more importantly, we're trying to use it for the benefit of others, not just to better them in life, but to help them come to know about Jesus as the Savior and become part of his kingdom. That's really what the focus of this parable is. So let's turn to Luke chapter 16, and we read, Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management because you cannot be my manager any longer. Well, the manager said to himself, what shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, you know, like ditches, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses. So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, how much money do you owe my master? How much do you owe my master? 800 gallons of olive oil, he replied. And the manager told him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 400. Then he asked the second, and how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? You know, that's spiritual wealth. And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This is the word of our Lord. Shall we stand now as we confess all of the good gifts that we have in life, no matter what they are, indeed come to us from God. And let's join together in confessing that as we say, I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. Well, let's thank the Lord for the blessings he's given us as we remain standing for our next hymn.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus, as we hear words of life again today, may that touch our hearts and not only stir faith in us and you as the Savior, but make our lives a reflection of your life to the glory and honor of your name. Amen. You may be seated. As I mentioned earlier, here at Holy Emmanuel last week, we began thinking about the stewardship that we have of all the gifts God gives us. We started a little mini-series entitled Consecrated Stewards. And so last week, we talked about what it means to be consecrated, as well as what it means to be one of the Lord's stewards. Well, today we're going to be continuing that theme by looking at what are we consecrated stewards of? Now, as I have mentioned before, when we hear the word stewardship or steward as Christians, most of us tend to think first in terms of money. Hate to say it. I'm not exactly sure why that is. Perhaps it's got something to do with the way that we were brought up, or maybe the tendency that some congregations have to constantly talk about the money that they need to keep their ministry going, kind of like what you see with a lot of TV preachers. But either way, that is a very narrow view of what stewardship is really all about. To use an illustration, it's kind of like looking at an iceberg, and you see the tip of the iceberg above the water, and you think that that's all there is to an iceberg. I don't know if you know it, but I looked it up on the internet, and that when you see the tip of an iceberg, actually, that's only a small part of the iceberg. There's 9 times as much iceberg below the water as there is above the water, which means if you just look at the tip, you're missing out on a big part of what an iceberg really is all about. And so it goes with stewardship. If you think of stewardship just encompassing money, you are missing out on a big part of what stewardship is really all about. There's so much more to stewardship than just what do we do with the money. And I think of the proof of that can be seen in the vast scope and the amount of blessings that God gives us. Just a moment ago, we confessed the first article of the Apostles' Creed that says, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. As Martin Luther, back in the 1500s, thought about what that means, he came up with a list, just a short list, of some of the blessings that God gives us, and we just confessed it. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he's given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all that I have. And we could probably add a et cetera, et cetera, et cetera here, couldn't we? Now, I know you've heard those words. Like I said, we just spoke them together. But have you ever stopped to consider what those words do for us? They don't just list the blessings that God has given us. They also remind us of what God has made us stewards of or caretakers of. Now, to that list of physical blessings, we could add the spiritual blessings God has given us. Well, what blessings would those be? Again, there are too many to name, but let's name at least a few of them. How about the gifts that God gives to us through which the Holy Spirit works to lead us to faith, like the gift of God's Word that we have here in the Bible? Or the gift of those sacraments that God gives us, baptism and the Lord's Supper, where God takes something we can see and attaches it to God, to the Word of God, and through that works to touch our hearts and stir faith. And what about the gifts of God that come to us through faith in Jesus as our Savior? Like that gift of forgiveness that Jesus bought for us at the cost of his life, laid down on a cross. Or the new life that we have in Christ, where we live under the guidance and care and protection of Almighty God. And let's not forget about the gift of prayer that Jesus makes possible for us, where through faith in Jesus, we can approach the very throne of God anytime and anywhere we want to and call upon our Father in heaven for his help. What about the gift of fellowship that God makes us part of as we believe in Jesus? The Holy Christian Church, where each of us becomes a blessing to the others as we provide encouragement for one another, comfort from one another, sometimes have to warn one another when we're going off the beaten path. You see, every physical and spiritual blessing we've received from God's hand, be it a big blessing or a small one, be it something that we own or something we make use of, or even just a talent or ability that we have as a human being. You see, literally everything we are and everything that we have is something that the Lord expects us to use and to manage properly as stewards in accordance with God's will. Now, that's kind of the big picture, but I think maybe at this point, it would be good for us to look at least one blessing God has given us and talk about what it means to be a good Christian steward of that blessing and think about what would it look like. So let's talk about being a good Christian steward of something we've been dealing with all summer long. What is that? Well, how about our lawns and mowing our lawns? I bet you didn't see that one coming, did you? It's like, well, we're going to talk about mowing our lawns in church? Yeah. Let me ask you, why do you mow your lawn? Now, I can see some of you are looking at like, duh, is this guy just dumb? Why do we mow our lawn? Well, it's not a trick question. And I know you're thinking, well, I mow my lawn because it gets long, right? Yeah, I get that. But why don't you just let it go and not worry about it? Well, you could easily say, well, in the town I live, they got an ordinance that says you got to take care of your property, otherwise you can get in trouble. You could also say something like, if I don't mow my lawn, my neighbor's going to get real mad at me, and that's why I do that. Okay, and I get that. But is that all that we have to think about when it comes to our lawns as Christians, whose lives have been bought by the shed blood of Jesus that has made us God's holy people? Well, I hope not. Because if that's the only reason you mow your lawn, we're back to the iceberg syndrome. You're just looking at the top of the iceberg and missing really what it's all about. Don't live your Christian life as nearsighted as that. You see, Jesus' death and resurrection as our Savior, it opens our eyes. Jesus' saving work broadens our horizons to behold the wonder of his work as God in everything around us, including the lawns we mow. On that note, let's go back to Adam and Eve just for a second. When God first created Adam and Eve, he didn't just give them life and let them loose in the world. He gave them a special gift. It was a piece of ground that they could call home, you might say, as their very own. You know that piece of ground as the Garden of Eden. God gave that piece of ground to Adam and Eve, and he told them in Genesis chapter 2, the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Now think about that in terms of your own life. If you own property, in a sense, isn't that a little bit like your own Garden of Eden that God has given you? To work it and take care of it as a good steward or manager, just as God did with Adam and Eve? Given that, that means when you mow your lawn and keep it from getting too long, you're not just taking care of a practical matter or fulfilling a civic responsibility. You're managing your property as a consecrated steward of God's gifts, which Jesus has given you himself as your Savior. And that has broad implications for your life as a blood-bought and redeemed child of God in Christ. You see, in mowing your lawn, you are, by your actions, saying, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for this piece of property you've given me. You didn't have to do that, but you did. And so I'm going to take care of it the best I can. And in doing that, you are honoring or worshiping your Lord and Savior Jesus no less than what you're doing right now. And you're doing that which the first commandment requires when it says, 'Have no other gods before me.' You're keeping Jesus first with your lawn. In mowing your lawn as a Christian believer in Christ, you're honoring Jesus' name, which might seem kind of like a strange thing because you might not say Jesus' name while you're mowing the lawn. You might not even think about Jesus' name. But you're honoring Jesus' name nevertheless. How so? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we're told that God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. And so by keeping your lawn orderly, God's life of order is being reflected in your life, which is also honoring Jesus' name, not by what you say, but by how you live. And that's part of the second commandment. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. In mowing your lawn, you are honoring the authorities that God places over us in government that are there to keep peace and order in society, which is why some city governments have laws regarding your lawn. And you might be honoring God as if your mom and dad are the one who told you as their kid, go mow the lawn. And you're honoring God by following the fourth commandment, honor your father and mother. In mowing your lawn, you're being considerate of your neighbor and helping them not get angry and mad at you for not cutting your lawn. And so you keep them from breaking the fifth commandment, you shall not murder, which deals with attitudes of anger and hatred in our heart, as well as things that we might do in our life. And in mowing your lawn, as a believer in Christ, you're also respecting your neighbor's property. In accordance with the seventh commandment, you shall not steal, as you do your part in the neighborhood to help keep your neighbor's property values up. And in mowing your lawn, you're respecting your neighbor's lawn by perhaps possibly keeping weeds from going from your lawn to their lawn. Now, I suppose there's probably more that we could have pulled in here, but hopefully you get the idea. There's more to mowing our lawns as a believer in Christ than first meets the eye, isn't there? And what we've said here with regards to mowing our lawn that God has blessed us with could be said of every other area and blessing that God has given us from his hand. As managers or consecrated stewards of God's blessings, we could think about, well, how do we care for the bodies that the Lord has given us? Or how do we nurture the minds that God has blessed us with and use our reason as human beings? We could talk about caring for the home that God has given us to live in, or making use of the tools that lie around all over in our garage, or managing the time that God gives us during the course of each and every day, or making use of the talents and natural abilities that God has given us, as well as the financial resources that are at our disposal. talk about managing or making use of the forgiveness that Jesus won for us through his death on the cross. How are we using that forgiveness? Are we using it as a license to sin, thinking, oh, I'll just go ahead and do whatever I want because, you know, Jesus will clean up the mess. He'll forgive me, which is a misuse of his forgiveness. We could talk about how do we make use of God's word? Do we cherish it, hold it, guard it, keep it? How do we care for the faith? That's that gift that the Holy Spirit has stirred in our heart. As I hope you can now see, stewardship isn't just about a little part of our life like money. True Christian stewardship is about managing our whole life and everything in it, which in the end, I guess, shouldn't be too surprising, right? When Jesus gave his life for us up on the cross to redeem us or buy us back to himself as God and make us his very own, the price of Jesus' blood that was shed for us wasn't shed just to buy a part of us back to him or just a part of our life back to him, was it? No. Jesus' life was given to buy back all of our life to him and buy back to himself everything that makes up our life as well. And because of that, we are stewards of every physical and spiritual blessing that comes to us from Jesus, no matter what that blessing might be. Amen. And now may the peace of knowing that Jesus has bought you to be his own not only guard and keep your hearts believing in Jesus, but change the way that we live our lives and see that the way that we use the gifts that he has blessed us with and how we manage them is our worship back to Jesus as the Savior. Amen. Let's close our meditation as we join in our next song, All Heaven Declares. Let's worship our Savior in love and joy as we manage the gifts he's given us. Take some of those for the benefit of others and receive our offering. Well, as we receive these offerings, of course, the financial resources that we have come to us as a gift from God, and the way we use that is, again, part of our worship back to Jesus. Not that we're giving our money to God. He doesn't need it, but other people do. And so we're laying down these offerings to help you, help the children at Open Arms, hear about Jesus as a Savior, go beyond the walls of this church, out into the community, that they too might hear about Jesus, and to help families in our own midst as well. And so at this time, Kate, I have you come forward, and we have some scholarships that we would like to announce. You want to use this? Or?
We'll see. Close that one on.
I think so.
All right, we'll give it a try.
Here, just use this one.
Oh, sounds good. All right. Well, good morning, everybody, again. So annually, the Open Arms Scholarship and Endowment Fund sets aside some money for our families to act as a scholarship to help continue to pay for and cover the cost of Christian care and education for young children. And this year, we have four families that we are very excited to bless with scholarships. One of our families is in attendance, so I will go over our families who were unable to make it, and they'll receive their scholarship certificate tomorrow morning, just letting them know that they'll be a recipient. One of our families that we'll be blessing with a scholarship is the Connolly family. They have had their child, Benson, with our program for quite some time. They are very active in their home church, and so they have received that as well. And the Jacobson family and their son Lucas has been with us since infancy, I believe. So they and their daughter before, Nora, was also at Open Arms. And they are very active in the community and coaching and getting out there and doing outreach in the community itself. And last but not least, well, not last but not least, second to last but not least, the Osterberg family in their work in working in the Welcome Center in their church and their child, Cash, being present in the center for quite some time since he was a toddler. But then last but not least, our family that is in attendance, the Ketter family. We have been very blessed to have the Ketter family with Open Arms since 2021, when their oldest Jude was just a little guy, and since then Jonah and Jane have joined in. Oh, here they come. All right. So both Jody and her cousin and her husband, Kevin, are extremely active in their home church of St. Bonaventure, and we are very blessed to have them here at Open Arms, and very blessed to have Jonah and Jane still with us, and very blessed to have Jude with us. Thank you, Jude, for coming to sing today with us. So I'll now present this scholarship to them.
Well, thank you, Kate. And shall we stand now as we lift our hearts in prayer to the Lord? Lord Jesus, we gather here today, mindful of the many abundant blessings and gifts that you have poured out on us. Not just the physical gifts that are poured out unto us day after day after day, but particularly those spiritual gifts, like your gift of forgiveness that brings us new life again with you as our God and reconnects us with you so that we might live under your loving care and fellowship both now throughout our life and even after our life comes to an end as we dwell with you forever in your eternal kingdom. As we try to be good stewards of the gifts that you have blessed us with, we realize that in so many ways we have failed to do what we should do. We have not always managed those gifts well. And even when we manage them well, sometimes we don't always do it with the attitude of thankfulness, gratitude, and love in our heart for you that we should. We thank you for your willingness to forgive us for that. And as your Holy Spirit teaches us again through your words, not just what it means to be a good consecrated steward, but is touching our hearts with your love so that we do it in the right attitude. May our lives truly be changed, not to our glory and honor, but to your glory and honor as our Lord and Savior. As we pray for ourselves, we ask that you would watch over the world, Lord. Give wisdom to those who have been put into positions of authority to govern and lead and keep peace and order in the world and keep sin and evil in check and under control. We pray that you would take away the violence that is sweeping across our society and the world, Lord, where we have no regard for one another anymore. And that as we're brought to faith in you, that we would change to be the kind of people of love for one another as you are a God of love for us. On that note, we continue to remember one of the ladies who comes to our Tuesday night car club, Cindy Anderson. She's fighting a very severe battle with cancer, and the doctors are struggling to do what they can to try and help save her. Even though doctors' abilities are limited, we know, Jesus, that your abilities are not, and would pray, if it would be your will, to grant Cindy renewed health and healing. And these things we pray, trusting in you, Jesus, as our Savior, and coming to you now at your invitation to ask for all other things that we need as we say the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, trusting in Christ and living under the blessings of his forgiveness and love, we go forth now to be those consecrated stewards of all of God's blessings that Jesus has made us to be. And may God fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. May we live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience, and joyfully give thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Amen. We close with our final hymn.
Thank you.
Well, again, we are so glad to have you here with us today at Holy Emmanuel, especially our Open Arms family. If by chance you do not have a church home that you call your own, we would dearly love to have you join us each week here at Holy Emmanuel as we constantly try to stay connected in Jesus Christ as our Savior and let the Spirit continue to work in our hearts to build that faith as well as change our lives. So please come and join us. We also are having a fellowship meal immediately following the service that I hope you'll be able to stay for. And knowing that that meal is prepared by some wonderful ladies in our congregation who are a gift from God, and that that food is a gift from God, let's be good stewards of what He has given and recognize our Lord in giving those blessings as we bow our heads and say a prayer, and then if you would join with me in the common table prayer. Well, Lord Jesus, you are indeed the giver of all things good, physical and spiritual. As we get ready to receive this food to the nourishment of our bodies, we realize that you care not just for our souls, but our bodies as well, that you died to save the whole person we are. So bless that food to the benefit and blessing of our body. May we enjoy the fellowship time that we have together with you and one another. And we ask you to come and be in our midst as we eat and we pray. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest and let these gifts to us be blessed. Amen. Thank you.